Please pray with me. Great and merciful God, on this dark Good Friday, we face the cross and the sacrificial death of our Lord as we hear this familiar and powerful story again. Lord, grant us the Holy Spirit's strength to deeply listen, the conviction to turn and repent, and the grace to receive the love poured out on the cross through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So listen again to this familiar story, the story of Pilate handing Jesus over to be crucified. The Gospel of John, chapter 19, verses 14 to 30. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover, and it was about noon. He said to the Jews, "Here is your king." They cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate asked them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but the emperor." Then he handed him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, with Jesus between them. Pilate also had an instruction written and put it on the cross. It said, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them in four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who will get it." This was to fulfill what Scripture says, "They divided my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots." And that is what the soldiers did. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. After this, when Jesus knew all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of the wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus received the wine, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So Good Friday, this is the day we face the cross, to look Jesus full in the face. Remain here, keep our eyes open, and face the cross. And it's hard seeing Jesus on the cross. He's been degraded, wounded, beaten, stripped. We want to look away. We want to bypass Good Friday and skip to Easter. We want to close our eyes and wait. But no, that's not what we're here to do today. Pastor Dave challenged us at the beginning of the week. "We're tempted to squint on Palm Sunday," he said, "and miss the underlying ugliness." We want to skip to Easter Sunday. But today we're not squinting. we're looking directly. We aren't sprinting through Holy Week, but we're moving at Jesus' pace. And we pause to look at him directly in the face. Now, this is an image of a bronze sculpture that has invited me to pause and look Jesus in the face. It's installed at Fuller Seminary in Pasadena, in the center of the campus, right in front of the library, near the prayer garden. The message is, our faith is not about just theological study and intellectual pursuit, but an experience of knowing Jesus crucified, knowing Jesus our Savior. We need to personally engage with him. Look at this statue. It's at ground level. Jesus is framed by the two men nailing him to the cross. In this vulnerable position, as you go by this statue, I find I look down, and it's hard to leave, but it's also hard to stay. In our churches, we often have the triumphant empty cross, like we have up here. But on Good Friday, we need to remember that the cross was full with God. Jesus, in his full humanity and full divinity, on the cross. So tonight, imagine that we are there. Imagine that we're looking fully into Jesus' face as he is nailed on the cross. The noise of the crowds, the confusion. But when Jesus speaks, we turn and look at him, right? When someone speaks to us, when we hear their voice, we turn and look. Jesus speaks a few precious words from the cross. Crucifixion was a torturous, slow death. Shock and bleeding from his beating. The person pushes up painfully in order to breathe, pushes up on feet that were shattered by the nail across his foot. Asphyxiation and muscles spasming. So we know that Jesus' few words were important and they were difficult, carefully chosen. On the cross, Jesus is face to face with his mother Mary, a group of women, and the young disciple John, all looking at him. Mary is standing close enough to hear Jesus, close enough to see every wound. And Jesus says, "Woman, here is your son," gesturing to John. And to John, he says, "Here is your mother." He uses few words, each cost him much of his strength. He chooses this formal betrothal language used to form a family. He's joining Mary to his friend John. Because Mary wasn't just a womb. She wasn't just an instrument to create a human body to sacrifice. She was his mother. The fully human Jesus was fully connected into the love and suffering of being a particular human born to a particular loving mother. And he gazes into his mother's eyes. You know, someone says choosing to have a child is to decide forever to have your heart to wander around the world, ever vulnerable. And right now, Mary's heart is hanging on a cross as she looks at her son. What we know about being human is that with great love comes great vulnerability to loss, to suffering, and to separation. And this is the human condition that Jesus experiences on the cross, knowing that this capacity to love is paired with a capacity to suffer pain and loss, not just physically, but emotionally. Jesus was fully human and fully divine. So we gather with Mary at the cross, suffering with her and facing Jesus. We see he knows this human suffering of betrayal, loss, the frailty of human bodies, and the futility of the human condition. We've all experienced grief at some times. Sometimes it might feel like you are in a year of a Good Friday. Jesus knows that. Despite his physical pain, Jesus responds to the unique isolation of grief that he sees on the faces in front of him. And he gives them solace. How? By binding them together. So look at Jesus, but then look at the person next to you. Go ahead, look at the person next to you. He gives us each other as solace. Despite his pain, he sees that need. But of course, we look back at the cross because Jesus says more. There is so much more than gathering and solace around the cross. There's so much more, but this is the hard part. For next, Jesus says, I am thirsty. Let's look at him in the face and puzzle about that. Jesus is the source of living water. What is he thirsting after? Considering his tortured body, the pain from torn flesh, his weakness from blood loss, the pain from the asphyxiation, thirst isn't the physical sensation we would expect him to comment on, is it? And then the Roman guard doesn't give him water, but gives him sour wine, vinegar. They used it as an additive to make water safer to drink, but they didn't give him water. What's it like to drink vinegar? Well, I tried it this week. I tried drinking some plain vinegar. And it's wet, but then your mouth feels drier, and it burns as you swallow it. It certainly would have burned any scrapes. So this vinegar wouldn't have given Jesus any comfort or solace. But what is Jesus thirsting after? There's a reminder. There's an echo of the psalmist. In Psalm 69, it says, they gave me poison for food and for my thirst. They gave me vinegar to drink. So here's the vinegar. But what was the poison? As we look at Jesus' face, battered and bleeding, what we need to know is that what happened on the outside to his physical body, that's actually not as horrible as the spiritual reality of what he experienced on the inside. The poison that he absorbs, that he takes inside, is more horrible than the death we see on the outside. Let me explain. Jesus drinks the cup of poison, the cup of death. That agony in the garden, that passage Pastor Dave read, the song and the picture we saw of the agony in the garden, Jesus knows the bitter, lonely cup of poison is coming, and absorbing it is necessary to save us from it. Jesus drinks the cup of many spiritual deaths alongside his horrible, torturous physical death. And he takes that cup. Every evil thought, every depraved action, every selfish choice, every sin of humanity was in that cup. My sin, your sin, that cup of death, of wrath, Jesus empties it to do the will of God. So on the cross, as Jesus looks down and says, I am thirsty, what he's saying to us is, I am thirsty for that poison. Let me take it from you. Let me drink that. And we must watch. Don't avert your eyes. Jesus told the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane to stay awake, to keep watch while he was in agony with this cup of suffering. He told the disciples to be present. We need to be present too. Because we must listen to what Jesus says next. It is finished. It is completely and utterly finished. That cup, that poison, that sin is fully absorbed, emptied out. So look at Jesus when he says this from the cross. Oh, and I pray, I've been praying, we would receive that deep in our soul, that we would know it is finished. Because friends, if we don't look and if we don't see that our sin is destroyed, the poison of sin will seep right back. And the image I've had this week of poison of sin seeping back, creeping to destroy, is from the Terminator 2 movie. Do you remember the evil Terminator made of liquid metal? If he wasn't fully destroyed, he would reconstitute himself. If the evil isn't fully destroyed, it will reconstitute itself. Sin is like that. If you don't see the full depravity of your sin and then see it fully absorbed, it lingers and it reconstitutes. It brings uncertainty about our belovedness, our meaning. It brings uncertainty and doubt about Jesus' work on the cross. So friends, watch and don't doubt. The cup of wrath, that poison of sin and death, that was emptied by Jesus. So we can have a new cup, the covenant of grace, the new cup of the covenant of grace that we share together at the table. Empty today, but every other Sunday, reminding us of what Jesus did for us. So friends, tonight we keep watch. We turn to face Jesus on the cross. We listen to those words that gather us to each other. But we face him and we see how he thirsts. He thirsts for us. He drinks that cup for us. Why? So we could receive the cup of grace. Friends, it is finished.